This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball. As you all already know, Stephen Munson is still currently out on parental leave, being a new father, posting on social media, doing all that good jazz there too. So we're wishing him the best during his time off here. But in the meantime, I would love to welcome you all to this episode's guest host, USA Volleyball's digital media and content coordinator, Severin Lavenstein. Severin, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, Clarence? Thanks for having me as a guest host. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. So, you know, new guest host right here, you know, relatively new to USA Volleyball. I think you made a lot of appearances across our social media, interviewing a lot of these national team athletes. Just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, what's going on? It's great to be here. I originally from Rhode Island and then spent a little bit of time in upstate New York and then Texas and now California. So I've been a little bit of everywhere already. But yeah, about 9 months already now, which is crazy to think about. I feel like I just got here and then it's just already kind of flying by. But I feel like that's a good thing because honestly, I've just loved being able to do what I do here is work a lot with the athletes and everything from content to video, as you mentioned, social media, even a little PR sometimes. So I do wear a lot of hats a lot out here in California. But yeah, I get to work a lot with all the national teams out here and national team development program when they come out here as well. So our beach team is over in Torrance and Hermosa and then also in Anaheim with our indoor teams and even over to Chula Vista for the training center. So anything out here in California that you're seeing maybe on our social media is usually me. But yeah, it's been fantastic so far. And then I get to do cool podcast experiences like this with you. So new thing all the time.
All right. What's been the favorite thing so far? I mean, I feel like you've been everywhere and, you know, just wearing a lot of hats and involved in so many different departments and events. And you're in, you know, sunny California, which was where my hometown. So I'm very biased there. But, you know, what's been your favorite part of, you know, just your whole career here so far?
Yeah, I could say going over to Long Beach to Goosey a little bit, but I won't do that. you know, it's tough to pick. And so for the beach people, don't get mad at me, but I would say so far, VNL Anaheim was super fun. That was just awesome seeing kind of that atmosphere. And again, kind of working with these athletes, I get to see them every day in the gym. We all just walk downstairs and talk to them, which is super cool. And generically, I'd say it's you know, getting to know them as people is so great. But specific event wise, VNL Anaheim was fantastic. And just being able to have that kind of event in California kind of as the precursor to seeing what was going to go on with the men out in Poland later, I believe, with the huge crowds and everything. But getting that VNL experience here was great. Really hoping we'll bring it back. And yeah, that's just everything. The atmosphere, the prep leading up to it, getting to, you know, kind of see them walk over to their game kind of strategy into the locker rooms and everything. Fantastic experience. And if anyone ever has a chance to go, even as a spectator, I got to be lucky and be on the court, but even as a spectator, it's so worth it. I tell all my friends who aren't quite as into volleyball yet, I'm like, hey, if you're waiting to get in, you know, this is a great opportunity because you'll really see kind of the level that these guys all play at, and the women too, especially getting ready for what we're going to see there too. It's just awesome.
Yeah. I like the fact that you said that, like, you've never, you know, played volleyball, you've never seen it at that high of a level, at the professional level, honestly, any level, like, go watch a volleyball match. You'd be surprised at what you see during and in between those rallies. So it's a great sport, you know. We're in a great sport here. I'm very thankful too. But no, it's good to hear for sure. You know, I know your beach brand a little like, whoa, Red Seven, what the heck? But
hey, I got to go to the Manhattan Beach Open too recently, and that was super fun as well. And yeah, that's I know awesome. those international events are a lot farther away, and I'm hoping someday I'll be able to go to those as well. But for now, you know, it's the challenge for them to level up to that and do my experience level. Invite me to more of them. I'll be there and I'll put you right at the top. I promise.
All right, man. Thanks for that introduction, man. I think you know, that's a really good painting of what you do on your, you know, every day here at USA Volleyball. So thank you for that, Sever. All right. Now, before we get into today's episode, if you haven't already listened to our previous episode, we sit down and chat with four-time Olympian, two-time Olympic medalist, and former men's national team outside hitter, Reed Pretty. Reed chats about his time on the national team, and he shares some of his favorite Olympic memories as well as that. Reed also chats about playing professionally on the beach, as well as his current business in sand, and so much, much more. He's an amazing storyteller, so make sure you really tune in and go back and listen to that episode if you haven't done already. I mean, again, we say every conversation is a great one. We literally do on this podcast and our follow-up meetings with our own podcast crew, but this one really is a great one that you want to go back and listen to. So listen to episode number 73 with Reed Pretty, or watch the episode on YouTube. USA Volleyball's YouTube channel for more information there. But yeah. Severin?
Yeah. So now I think it's time for what I believe we're calling the news with Hughes. I'm excited for this. Take it away.
I hope I don't stutter here. Here we go. Big congratulations to the U.S. men's national team for going undefeated and winning the gold medal at the 2023 Norseca Continental Championship in Charleston, West Virginia this past week. It was awesome seeing them compete on home soil one more time before heading to the Olympic qualification, in which they're heading to actually right now. So good luck to you guys on your travels and competition out there. The USA men's national team just headed out today, like we just mentioned, headed out today to Japan to begin their FIVB Men's Road to Paris Olympic Volleyball Qualifier Tournament. Now, the U.S. women's national team are currently in Łódź, Poland for their FIVB Women's Road to Paris Olympic Qualifier. And a big congratulations to the U.S. women's national team for winning silver at the 2023 Norseca Championship in Quebec. They fought hard and lost a tough five-set match against the Dominican Republic in the championship match. Also, a big congratulations to Katie Lindstrom and Tegan Van Gust for winning a silver medal at the Beach Pro Tour Futures in Brazil. Also, a congratulations to Taryn Clough and Kristen Nuss, as well as Theo Brenner and Trevor Crabb for winning the AVP Chicago last week. So much great volleyball is happening right now. So much volleyball that has just happened a couple weeks ago and a week ago. Great time for volleyball right now. As a reminder to all volleyball fans, Athletes Unlimited will begin their third season coming up very soon. They will be competing in Phoenix, specifically, Mesa, Arizona, from October 6th through November 6th at the Bell Bank Park in Mesa. Mark your calendars and get your tickets right now. If you can't make it in person, be sure to tune in as they'll be airing these matches on no other than ESPN. That's right. Now, follow along all the action on USA Volleyball social medias and more on all the latest news. Be sure to visit usavolleyball.org.
Now on today's show, we mentioned them above, you know, with the news with Hughes, but coming in as AVP Chicago champions, that's Team TKN, Taryn Clough and Kristen Nuss. They've been honestly a dominant force of the FIVB Beach Pro Tour as well, and the AVP Tour, home and away, you name it, they're pretty awesome. And we were able to chat with them before they head out to World Championships coming up. Clarence, this was such a great conversation. Really enjoyed being part of this show. So without further ado, here's Taryn and Kristen. Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us, taking some time out of your busy training schedule, I'm sure, and also some great recent results. But yeah, Taryn and Kristen, welcome to the USA Volleyball Show podcast. Great summer, obviously, for both of you. Just came back from ABP Chicago, where you won gold for the second straight year. So congratulations there. Really kind of curious that the AVP seems like it does such a great job with kind of getting you involved in the community at all the different tour stops. And I think we saw last month you were with the Atlanta Falcons at training camp and, you know, the Braves through AVP. Lots of cool kind of experiences like that. But did you get to do anything kind of similar in Chicago?
We actually did not. So I think they picked different teams based on the different stops. So we weren't chosen for this one, but we couldn't be selfish. We had an amazing time in Atlanta. We were there the entire week before, and we went straight from Canada to Atlanta. And then we just had an entire week of just lineup after lineup of fun things to do. Kristen at the football training camp was just like a little kid in a candy store. He was having so much fun and it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad we got picked for that one.
Yeah.
Because that was probably the coolest thing, especially for me. I'm a big football fan. But yeah, we did go to the Cubs game. It wasn't at the AVP, but in Chicago, we did get to go to the Cubs game. So that was fun. Yeah.
Super cool.
What was your favorite part about the football camp? Since you're such a big, football fanatic.
It was honestly just getting to see, when I was younger, I would go to some of the New Orleans Saints, training camps, stuff like that. But I think it's now just a completely different perspective, and just knowing how much work they put in to be on that field. It's just wow, props to you guys. So it's just a different perspective of just knowing how much we put into our work and how much they have to be at that elite level. So that was just kind of cool being up close with all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking to everybody there, and they were like, nobody really understands the training camp. It is just constant work and stress, and you want to make the roster, and then you're lifting, eating, doing everything together, and it's so stressful, and you have to perform at such a high level. And so just like you said, just kind of comparing it to what we do, and obviously very different sports, but it's still the high intensity of training, prepping, refining your skills.
I also, all of the athletes were super cool. I guess I just thought football guys, NFL athletes, they're kind of going to be just practice it over and just beeline it to the locker room and not really talk with us.
Yeah.
They were all super friendly and stuff. It was their second day in pads too. So they were all exhausted, yet they were still just chatting and participating in the stuff. So that was really cool.
But that is fun to see some new faces. I mean, all these dudes practice and scrimmage and just interact around each other all day during training camps and, 2-3 days, weight sessions, eating, all that stuff. So, I'm pretty sure that made their day too. So it sounds like it was really cool. Good to see that you guys enjoyed yourself there. So switching gears a little bit off of that topic, this is a question we always like to ask, our first time guests on the show, about how you were both introduced to the game of volleyball. We've heard some wild things in the past, with other people who've been on the podcast. So we want to hear your story. How were you introduced to the game?
Is it specific beach or just
volleyball? We can start with volleyball and, work into that beach transition if it as well. So we can do that.
You bet. For indoor volleyball, I made a deal with my mom that if I got to have a sleepover, I would go to volleyball tryouts because I did not want to go. So then the morning after the sleepover came and she was dropping me off at beach volleyball or at volleyball tryouts, and I was so angry. I did not want to go. She had to unbuckle my seatbelt, open the door, and push me out. She was like, just try it. If you don't like it, then you don't have to do it, but I want you to at least try it. And I somehow made a team. I have no idea because I couldn't even serve the ball over the net. I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm very glad that they did. And then for beach volleyball, my first experience was at LSU in 2019 when I just showed up and I had no idea what I was doing. But I did tell the LSU coaches over and over and over again. I was like, you guys do know that I have never played beach volleyball in my whole entire life. I'm going to be terrible. And they let me come anyway.
Wow. That is so funny.
Yes.
I think for me, honestly, it was probably a little similar as far as when I started. It was probably my mom being like, no, you're going to go play at the playground in the rec league. And I was probably like, no, I don't want to. So I was like a very shy kid, but she probably forced me to. And then I started playing for just my grammar school in fifth grade. And then just stuck with it all through high school. And then beach came into the picture my sophomore year of high school. There was all the high schools in the area do a six-man kind of tournament. It's called Slam and Jam. And my friend, who is a year older than me and also on the volleyball team, she was like, hey, you want to get a volleyball team together and go play in it? And we were like, yeah, sure. It sounds fun. We had never played in the sand. And we got second in the tournament, and it's playing you're playing against guys too. So we were the first team, all female team, to make it to the championship and get second. And then there was a double tournament the next day. And my friend Megan was like, hey, do you want to go play in that too? It's like, sure, let's do it. We got absolutely destroyed. I don't even think we got double digits in any of the matches we played, but it was just this is awesome. I want to keep playing this sport. And then went on to college and, yeah,
here we are.
That's awesome that you guys got that little bit of an extra push from your parents there for sure to make that kind of happen.
Shout out to the parents.
Moms always know. Yeah, your parents always know
for sure.
All it takes is just, an unbuckling of a seatbelt. That's not even yours, you go from there.
Exactly.
I think it's always interesting too to kind of hear where along everybody's volleyball journey they kind of pick up different parts of the game, whether for you two it'd be beach as well. And Taryn, for you specifically, I think if I have this right, you played 4 years of indoor at Creighton and then transferred to LSU before you started playing beach. And I'm curious what made you kind of make that switch kind of permanently, if you will, over to the beach side.
Like, why did I stay in beach volleyball?
Yeah.
Huh. That's a great question. I have no idea. It was honestly a very challenging decision for me. Just because indoor volleyball was my life, my goals. That's what I was dreaming about since I started playing volleyball. And then when beach volleyball came along, I just wanted to get so much better. And I was so angry because I just felt like I could do so much more. And I was like, I can't leave this, but I don't want to give this up either. So it was, I mean, you saw me. I was so torn and I had no idea what I wanted to do. But yeah, I mean, beach volleyball, I think, was the right path for me eventually. And it was just like one day I was walking down the street and it was just an epiphany of I had to keep playing beach volleyball. And I called you. I said, I'm coming back. And she was pretty excited.
Just a little. Very glad she stuck with me. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was coming back to LSU and then playing professionally after. I think I just sent her. I was thinking about it so much if I wanted to go play overseas or if I wanted to stay and pursue beach volleyball. And that would be staying in Louisiana, training with Kristen. And I actually just sent her like a place to live. And I was like, do you think this looks good? And she's like, what? What does this mean? And she like gets up on her bed, starts jumping up and down. She's like, are you serious?
Yes, just a little excited.
So that's how that kind of all happened. But okay. Yeah.
So when did, for both of you, I guess we'll start with Kristen first. When did you realize that, you know, you were able or there's a possibility to make a career, you know, a whole lifestyle out of volleyball?
I think I think we both talked about this. I mean, I think it was literally the same exact tournament and like moment that we did both kind of realize like, oh my goodness. And it was actually, it was October of 21.
Yeah.
October 2021. We had been playing in a bunch of like the AVP Next tournaments and stuff like that. And we had a lot of success in those tournaments and we went and we played in some random tournament in,
Franklin, Tennessee.
In Franklin, Tennessee, it was at Hyden's facility, actually. And again, it was just like such a random thing. I think they had a good like prize purse for it. So we were like, yeah, let's go. We hopped in the car. My dad drove us there. And Kalinske and Stockman also were playing it. At the time, they like just missed out on the Olympics. Like they were like right there. And we were like, oh, my goodness, like. In my head, I was like, oh, my goodness, like they're going to be there. This is going to be hard. And we played them in the championship match and we actually ended up winning. And it was just like, whoa, like that is wild. Like they were a top team in the world and we just went and beat them. And it was funny because she was still very new to the beach world and everything. She had no idea who we had just played and beat. And I was after the match, like,
She did not tell me. She didn't tell me. She was nervous. She wasn't going to. Yeah.
I like played it cool because I was like, I don't want to like psych her out as to like who we're playing. And after the match, I was like, Taryn, do you know like who we just played? And
it's like, I Googled them immediately. Definitely know who they are.
But it was funny because it was literally for both. We didn't talk about it at the time, but like, I think a year later, we were like, that was the like turning point and the moment of like, yeah, like we think we can do this at the next level.
Mm-hmm. That's like the ultimate chirp afterwards. If you could just say, oh, I don't even know who you are as at this point. Yeah.
It wasn't like a negative play. It was just a naive, so new, so fresh. Like everything in this world is exciting right now type of way.
Definitely. It's got to be so cool when you kind of transition to that point where those kind of competitors are your peers with USA Volleyball. And then when you're competing on that pro stage after, you know, the college game as well. And I feel like we're seeing more of, you know, pairs kind of following in your footsteps and the footsteps of some before you, kind of transitioning from the college game to the pros. And I'm curious what that transition is like. It's got to be pretty difficult in some aspects. Am I right there?
Yeah, I think everything is just the, I think the toughest part is that there is so much freedom. So you get to pick your partner. You get to pick when you're practicing. You get to pick the tournaments. Before, you're just told and you just go. And you go and do what you're told to do. And yeah, that can be frustrating. But when you have to make all the decisions, I think that weighs on you a little bit more. Because if you make the right decision, great job. If you make the wrong decision, that's still your fault. And that's the tough part, I think.
But I think the college game has just elevated women's beach volleyball. I mean, you do have like, so in all of these AVP tournaments, the amount of just like college kids that are still in college that are competing with everyone on tour. It's just, it is so wild. And we are very fortunate that we were able to play collegiate beach volleyball. But as far as like the transition side, I do think it is just that the caliber of play, it's just everything just gets more consistent, and it's every single game you have to show up. Whereas in college, there were some games maybe you didn't have to play your best and you still were able to come out victorious. But in AVP and international, it's like, no, every single game you have to show up. And I think the teams are just a little more physical. There's bigger angles that are created. So that's just a couple of the differences. But I do think women's beach volleyball is just, it's on the rise.
Mm-hmm. I'm in awe of how you guys plan out your flights, you know, just seeing everybody kind of try to figure out where they're going to go, how they're going to get it all done. It's very impressive.
Thank you. It's a lot. I mean, I feel like we're still learning so much and we're just trying to figure out what works best for us. And that's the cool part again, right? You basically get to customize your own schedule. And
yeah, I feel like we could be travel agents.
I think
our career is over.
What's been like your biggest obstacle so far? I know you've touched base on, you know, like planning around your whole plan, making your own schedule, and talking about the competitiveness of just beach volleyball, women's beach volleyball growing and in the right direction as a whole. But as a pair or individually, what has been like your biggest obstacle overall, you know, in your career?
I think for me, especially at the, I think, and for both of us, especially at the beginning of our like official pro career after college, we did have so much success that we would go into these tournaments, and when we weren't winning, it was like, what is happening?
We were like angry.
Yeah. Like we, and that like kind of took a toll as to like, what the heck? Why are we not winning? Why are we keep getting fifths? Like, what the heck? We want to be on the podium, and what is happening? And I think it just took a lot of conversations, like tough conversations between the two of us and with our coach Drew. And it was just trying to figure out like how to take that next step. But yeah, the figuring out how to handle those like tough losses, like especially mentally.
I was going to say the mental side is the toughest, biggest obstacle.
And like I was saying, in the international side and AVP, like every single game, you have to go in and be like 100% mentally locked in. And I think in college, that was, again, a little different, kind of how I touched on earlier. So figuring out just that mental side was for sure the biggest obstacle.
Well, I mean, even in college, you have five pairs. If you lose and your team wins, you still win. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, it sucks to lose, but you win as a whole, and that's what you're striving for. If you lose when it's just you two, you lose. But yeah, when she was talking about like us as a pair, I think having those tough conversations, it is, everybody talks about how it's a relationship, and no, it really is. It is the hardest, longest relationship I think I've ever been in with a non-family member. And it is the most rewarding thing ever too. Cause I feel like, well, we especially spend so much time together, and like having your best friend with your business partner and same as like your volleyball partner. And you just, it's a lot for sure. So having a sports psych that we work with and being able to have those tough conversations and still staying best friends, I think that is our goal at the end of this. Is volleyball can end, but I want to have her the end of volleyball. So, yeah.
That's such an awesome way to look
aww
at it.
Well, for real. We talked about that. You know that.
Uh-huh. kind of touching base on, you know, that mental aspect of that, just, you know, learning how to lose. Do you have any advice for someone, or, you know, it could be a beach player, it could be a high school player, any volleyball player that is currently, you know, struggling with that right now?
It is that volleyball is not the end all be all. Like, you'll wake up the next morning and you'll just go live your life. I think I was putting like so much just like, oh my goodness, like volleyball is defining me. Like, people know me as the volleyball player. But it was like, I think it really hit me. The tournament that
Cape Town.
The big turning point for me was Cape Town, South Africa. We lost, I think, in the quarterfinals. It was like our like fifth place finish, like in a row. And it was like the breaking point of me. I was like just so angry. Like, I didn't think I played my best volleyball. I did not play my best volleyball. I like wasn't playing my game. I was like trying to do things that like I'm like never done before. And it was just like, what am I doing? Like, it was literally like, look in the mirror and like, what are you doing, Kristen? And it was just like, why are you trying to be someone else? And it's like, get back to just playing your game. If that is not okay and you lose, like, it's okay. The other team played well and like, that's fine. And it was like, I want to go to sleep and I'm going to wake up the next morning and it's going to be a brand new day. And it was like, that sounds so simple. And just like, yeah, like you're like, yeah, exactly. But it's like so hard to like think about that, like in the moment. And again, it was just like an epiphany type of moment. I was just like, why am I putting so much pressure on this? Like, it's a game. This is not like, yes, I am very passionate about this sport. But again, it is not a life or death scenario.
Yeah. She's a lot better at it than I am still. I'm working on it. I do realize for sure that it is just a game and we're going to wake up the next morning. I think so. My Creighton coach, actually, I was so nervous before. I think it was the Big East championship game and she could just tell that I was just so tense and so nervous. And she was like, T, what is the worst thing that can happen tomorrow? And I was like, we lose. And she goes, are you still going to be alive? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, are you still going to have your family and your people that love you? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, so that's absolutely not the worst thing in the world that can happen. And then as soon as she said that, I was like, let's go play. I'm so excited. But it really is. It's just like the mental switch of that. And yeah, it's really hard to realize, especially in the moment when you're super passionate, you work so hard, you practice all the time, you put in so much work and then you lose anyway. Yeah, it sucks. But yeah, you're going to have to get over it because it's going to happen and it's going to happen again and then again.
So, yeah.
It's so great to hear about some of the specifics that you kind of both help yourselves deal with some of that adversity with, and just kind of, you know, you see it kind of all the time when athletes need to kind of recenter themselves a little bit, and to hear the specifics from you both is so fascinating there, especially, you know, with how you're both usually pretty on top of your game there. So it's, yeah, that's awesome. I'm just curious too, with kind of, again, just kind of going back to the transitions a little bit with how you first got involved with the beach national team specifically, and then your involvement with USA Volleyball as you've kind of grown there and sort of how that started for you. Cause I know that might sometimes be a little bit different for everybody.
That's a good question. How did it start?
I know my first taste of it was back in college with USA Volleyball was they had the beach pairs national. It wasn't like a national championship, but it was like the beach pairs championship. And at the time, me and my old partner, Claire, we ended up winning that allowed us to go represent the U.S. in the FISU World University game. So that was like the first time we got to come out and do like a little block with it was like a week training with USA Volleyball. And then we went off to Germany for that. That was like my first taste of it. But then with the like actual beach national team that,
oh, we went to that training in Huntington
for pairs.
Yeah. No, for not pairs
for college.
Yeah.
You got it. That was your first team.
That was mine. Well, I played indoor, and so I did a little bit of USA with indoor. So that was actually really fun because you get to meet so many different people, and then you get to go on these trips together, and then just like putting together a team. Can't really do that with beach volleyball. It's only one other person, but having that with like six other people, and I still talk to them to this day, and we went on a trip in 2016. So that's been really fun. But my first beach national team, when we got invited out for the collegiate beach national team, it was like a training 2 weeks. And then at the end, there was a tournament and we both went. That was my first taste of it. And I had, again, no idea. But as soon as USA calls you, right, like that's what you want to wear on your jersey, on your chest. Like everybody dreams about that. And so if they call you, you're like, yes, I'm going. I don't care where it is. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference of, you know, the transition from going from indoor to beach? I know everybody has their own description of it and their own experience of it, but can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. It was the most frustrating process I've been a part of in my entire life. That's it. There is no other way to describe it other than I would leave practice every single day so angry, but so hungry for more. Like I wanted... It would be 3 hours in Louisiana heat and I would be horrible and I not know what I'm doing for 3 hours. But as soon as practice ended, I was like, can we go back? I want to just go back. I want to go back. And every single day I was just so excited to go back, even though I was not successful because I wanted to be successful so bad. If that makes any sense. I know it's kind of backwards, but it was just so much fun. And even when I was losing every time or practice was horribly hard, I still wanted to go back no matter what. So yeah, I mean, the transition, yeah, it's going to be so hard and you're going to be humbled very, very quickly. You're probably going to like fall in the sand, get eaten by some sand monsters. Like it's just going to happen, but that's part of the process too. So whenever people ask me, like, just be ready to be frustrated. And that's when you know that you're working on something and you're changing and you're getting better. I also like when things are really, really challenging and it's just extremely frustrating, but I think it does make you better in the end.
I will say it is impressive. Just that, like her talking about her drive, because I mean, she was an elite indoor player. So to be a very elite at what you think is like a very similar sport and then to come into college and like she said, be a little humbled and just be like, I don't know what's going on. Like, why am I not just competing with like the rest of the people? I can't imagine just mentally what that is like. Cause again, elite indoor player, like would have been going overseas to play, would have put like played with the national team a little bit. And then to go to again, beach volleyball, which is, it's a volleyball. Like it's the same, but very different. And yeah, props to her for sticking with it and getting through the ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly. But luckily I did have, do you, like Kristen is probably just smiling in the back of just watching all the indoor people transitioning into beach volleyball. But I really did have awesome teammates that were super encouraging whenever I was really down about the fact that I couldn't do anything. They're like, just give it time, just give it time, just give it time, be patient. And even my coaches, they were just so willing and able to give me the time to transition. So if you're expecting to go from indoor to beach in about 2 weeks, it's just not happening like that. You have to know that it is going to be a process. And I've actually talked to some of my indoor friends and they're like, how long does it take until you feel normal on the beach? And I was like, do you want to know the real answer? And I was like, 2 years, 2 years until I felt comfortable, like I could be out there and be comfortable like I was an indoor. And they're all like, no, 2 years. But it does, it just takes a while.
That's awesome. So now both of you compete on, you know, both the ABP and the FIVB Beach Pro Tour, and so, you know, obviously have had great success in both, winning in both, but I'm curious how you would contrast the two different tours and kind of what their differences may be or what their similarities might be as well. I got to go see my first Manhattan Beach Open just a couple of weeks ago and getting to see kind of how that whole setup is. I'd love to go to one of the Beach Pro Tour events sometime because they look amazing. But yeah, I'm just curious how you would contrast kind of the two events that you've both had some pretty great success in.
I would say there's a lot more elements with the international, whether it's the traveling for 12 to 16 to 18 hours, the time change, not knowing where the food is, not being able to speak a language. Like, it's all of those things that they really do just add up, and they do take a toll on you mentally and physically. I don't know. I could compare it to a vacation. You know, you're so excited, you're super hyped up, and then you get on the plane and you finally land, and then you're just like exhausted, but we still have to go lift, and then we have to go practice, and then you have to perform in about 2 or 3 days. So that just takes a lot more of a toll, especially us right now in the Olympic run, especially just because that is our top goal. And AVP doesn't really contribute to that. So FIVBs are taking a lot of our, like, if we have to pick between an AVP and FIVB, we're going to go internationally. But it does, it takes a huge toll, but it's really fun. And then AVPs, especially for Chicago. So that's close to my family and friends and everybody that I know and love. And it's almost like we are here on home soil, and it's just like, it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
For me.
I think, especially just with the Olympic race happening, it has kind of given us a different perspective of the AVP. Mm-hmm. It's way more just like, I think for us, especially this year, the AVP is just like our kind of like our safe haven. It's like, oh, we don't have to worry about points. We can just take short little flights, and we just get to go have fun just playing this sport. There's no pressure. It's like, if we lose, we don't really care. We're going to have family members there. Like, we'll make, like, not that we don't care, but it's just not like, oh no, we just ruined our points for the Olympics. So it's just way more laid back and just, yeah, kind of, I would say it's our safe. It was like our little safe haven, just kind of, the comfort of it, like she said. But yeah, the international ones, it's just, I feel like it's so cool that we get to go just travel the world and play a sport. And we have definitely taken advantage of just getting to kind of do some exploring. We love traveling. So that's just been a lot of fun.
And we're sitting there on like a Tuesday afternoon, and we're just having a cup of coffee in France. And we're like, what? Who let us do this?
And do you check the points while you're having your cup of coffee, or do you just throw the phone to the other side of the river or wherever?
No, that has been actually something that we have implemented this year. And it's our like date nights or just hangout time. And so, like I said, when you have friendship, partnership, all of like volleyball, the stress of everything, we were losing out on like the fun parts of friendship that you get to have, and you just get to have the longest talks about absolutely nothing, but you're both just enjoying your time. So we started having dates when we cannot bring up volleyball. Nobody can talk about volleyball. Absolutely nothing about volleyball gets brought up. And I think that's been very beneficial for us.
Yeah.
Plus it's fun.
I was totally going to guess that, Terry, you're the one that's like, let me check these points and go from there. But I totally forgot what I was going to say. What was that?
She's definitely more of the points person than I am.
Both tours in alignment, what has been like your most memorable or your favorite stop overall?
Gosh. I mean, Switzerland is just absolutely gorgeous. And all of the beach volleyball community there is wild. They are very passionate about beach volleyball. So all of the volunteers that are working the event, just all the people that are attending, they are just fully engaged and just fantastic people. And then when you just look around, you're like, well, this place is just absolutely gorgeous. So that's
I think Shaw in Chicago.
Yeah. That Chicago would definitely be the domestic one that we love. And we just always have so much support there because it's kind of a common ground between South Dakota and Louisiana that just everyone just seems to go to.
Yeah.
So we love when we have all of our friends, family, extended families there with us.
Mm. So that the sand was really hot in Chicago. Did you have any trouble dealing with that?
You know, I mean, we live in a fireplace.
Fair enough.
If we did not train in Louisiana, I am not sure I would have made it through that tournament. Yeah. But, it was, the sand is definitely darker than what we trained in here. So the sand for sure got not way hotter, but it definitely was warm.
But they watered it.
But yeah, they did water it a little bit, and that kind of helped.
I don't love wearing sand socks. You just kind of feel like a dog with shoes on. So I prefer not to wear them, but if I have to, I can just throw them on.
That's my early candidate for quote of the year. You feel like a dog with shoes on. That's great.
You ever seen a dog walk with, you know, some shoes on?
It's so, yeah, they're seeing it. Oh, buddy.
So a little bit different than Chicago or Stade is probably where world championships coming up next month. And I believe it's your first world championships. How are we feeling? Are we ready? Are we all excited to go? Tell me how we're feeling.
Yeah. We are very, very excited.
Yeah.
And we've heard such great things about Tlaxcala, where the world champs are. So we're definitely, definitely excited.
I don't really know what to expect, but I think that adds to the excitement of the naive part, because we have kind of like gotten used to some things. So it's kind of fun to have something that's new just thrown at us. And we're like, oh, we're going to figure it out when we get there. Who knows?
Did you both watch the pool selection?
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't. Did I watch it? No. Did I see it? Yes.
I waited until it was over, and then I went back to when they just set off. Yeah, when they like pulled our names.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I want to focus on. I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
So earlier this year, you both were featured on the Sandcast podcast, and you both said you were like sisters. Do you also, you know, squabble and butt head like sisters? I see you doing this like every other question. So I definitely decided this answer, but go ahead.
We definitely like bicker like sisters, but I would say it's a very respectful sisterhood.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, if she, I don't know, I just feel like we balance each other out so well. Like, we are very, very different, but we get along very well. And when she is tired, I somehow have energy, you know, like we just go back and forth and we just compliment each other well. So, yeah, the question was, do we bicker or like, yeah,
you know, butt heads like siblings.
If you spend this amount of time with someone, I feel like it's not possible to not just get a little like agitated or annoyed at the other person. But we know
all the times.
Yeah. When to like, okay, maybe I need to give her some space. So yeah, we've gotten better at that. I used to definitely be the little sister though, and just like poke the bear when like she was a little annoyed. Now I'm like, okay, I guess I won't be the little sister. I'll like respect that we need time apart.
Yeah.
So then I'm curious for the volleyball kind of date nights that you talked about earlier, where you can't talk about volleyball. And then with the sister dynamic, what are some of the things that you'd talk about then? Is it the favorite TV shows? Is it, you know, kind of the latest thing you're reading? What are the conversations then like between you two?
That's a good question. A lot about our families, honestly. Yeah. I feel like we come from big families and we know our families pretty well. So it's just kind of like catching up, seeing where, well, we kind of like know everything about each other, but I mean, some random things might get brought up.
She's good. She will always ask just like the randomest questions, like just like the thought provoking, but like random questions. Just like, would you rather?
I should start a question page, honestly, because it's so intriguing to hear people's answers. I also love hearing about dreams. I love listening to people's dreams in the morning. Like, sit there with a cup of coffee and everybody tells about their dream. It is so much fun. And then you're like, how did you think about that?
No, but yeah, it's literally just the randomest stuff.
Yeah.
My two follow-ups then would be, you must have a dream journal then, right?
I have a journal, but I'm not very good at remembering my dreams, but some of them. It's sad because like the ones I remember are like the scary ones, but they're not scary when I talk about them to anybody else. But like in my sleep, you know, when you like wake up, you like feel anxious.
I'm scared. Yeah. You kind of had to be there. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't there? Sorry.
My other one I was going to ask was if you had any one of those random questions today, whether what your most recent random question was.
Oh,
Because now you can't tell us that and then not have one. I mean, I feel like you got to have one for us.
On the spot. I just had to be like thinking. And then she's like, what are you thinking about? I'm like, do you think? I just like, I don't know.
You can't come up with one. We say these things all the time.
I have a list on my phone. It's that bad.
We can come back to it. It's okay. I put you on the spot there. That was my fault.
It was probably like, oh my God, you have a dog? Why do you have a dog?
And then I could ask.
What was the one you asked when we were at the gym? You were with Julia. It was like, would you rather like have a home or like you couldn't be?
Oh, you always have to be traveling. So you never have a home. You're always living in a hotel or you're flying somewhere, or you can never leave the city that you live in. Oh, but Julia was like asking me all these questions. And I was like, I don't know. These are hypotheticals. You can make it up. So I made this up. You can leave, but you have to be back by 10 p.m. So you can only go as far from your city if you're back by 10. That's your like trip or vacation.
Why 10 p.m.? Why can't we do like 11:59 to give you more time to like go further?
Because I get to set the curfew. It's my
That's a great question. That's not an easy answer.
Definitely traveling and living at hotels, 100%. But that's just,
I'm in Southern California. I'm staying.
Yeah, man. We travel a ton, so I think I could do that for a couple more years, and then I want like a home, and I'll be like, I'm there.
Gotta be back by 10 p.m.
You're like, she's a not fun mom.
Oh man. So you got me thinking about Southern California now from there. So I'm like, oh, anyways, let's continue on the conversation about, you know, your partnership, your sisterhood. What goes into a good beach partnership?
Communication, trust, respect, loyalty. For sure, loyalty. There are some times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I played horrible. She should leave me. But like, she doesn't. And it's not a worry that I have, because you're already frustrated with yourself. And then if you're worried that you might lose your partner just because of your bad performance, that adds to the anxiety. And there's no way that makes you play better.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times, especially if watching college teams play, or even like sometimes watching juniors play, and I'll see like a girl gets set a ball, and the set may not have been like the best. And you'll see like a girl like roll her eyes or just like make some sort of gesture, just kind of showing that like she didn't really appreciate the set. And I'm always like, why are you doing that? You're like tearing down the confidence of your partner when it's like, it's a team sport. You need her to be successful. So why are you tearing her down when you should be building her up? And I'd see that all the time. It's like, you cannot win by yourself in the sport. Like, it's not possible. It is a team sport. So you have to rely on that other person with you. So I would say to all juniors out there, just work on building your partner up. Do not tear them down. I see that so much and it just kills me.
I feel like you do a really good job of, even if we're playing with different people at practice or switching or whatever, and she always makes whoever she plays with better, like no matter what it is, in any skill or any situation. It's like, if it's a bad pass, it doesn't really matter because she'll clean it up with a set. Or even if it was great, like she actually like hypes you up. So being a good teammate of just building up their confidence, or if they don't have any, help them find some.
Did it take you both a while to kind of find that right sort of form of communication with each other? Or was that kind of an instantaneous sort of thing that you just immediately hit it off with?
I mean, there was definitely like chemistry.
Yeah.
But I think
still to this day, we're still working on, hey, in a tough scenario, like say you're signing out or struggling, like, what do you want from me? And it's still just like that constant communication of just figuring out, because I mean, there's going to be so many different scenarios and different kind of like lapses that happen mid-match. So just that the ability to have those like uncomfortable conversations and just communicate well, that is something, again, that we're still working on. And I think that's just forever something that you work on with whoever you're playing with.
Yeah. I mean, it's extra helpful that we have our sports psych to help. If we don't even think about some conversations, but we had a meeting right before Chicago and actually a couple of those things came up and we were like, oh, yes, we already know what to do. So, yeah, that's helpful. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one of the coolest things so far in talking to you both has been hearing about kind of your different mindsets and also the way that you kind of are able to kind of step back and think about different things, whether, you know, Tara is hearing about you talk about, you know, you want to play beach volleyball and you're committing to it, or, you know, Kristen, you kind of talking about making sure that you're able to kind of reset yourself and, you know, get back to playing your style of volleyball. And obviously with, you know, what's coming up next year, pretty big, important kind of stretch to be able to focus on what you need to focus to. And I'm curious how you're sort of doing that and taking things one tournament at a time with obviously Paris sort of looming in the background and that kind of goal for you both, as you talked about earlier as well. Are you more challenged to kind of stay present, and are you kind of coming up with more ways to go tournament by tournament?
I don't think I have. People ask me what my next game time is, and I don't even know what that is. I genuinely don't want to look forward. Like, I want to be there. Even this weekend, they were like, sorry, the game finished, and they're like, oh, so you played at 3? And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me. I had no idea. Perfect.
No, I think we both, it's just, it helps when there are two people. And I think we have done a really good job of just kind of like helping each other just stay like, oh no, we do, like, we just need to take it point by point. It's not even game by game. It's just like, how do we step on this court and win this first point and then go from there? And I think it's just something that we've done since the beginning of this journey. We knew from the beginning that it was going to be very long, and it was like, okay, yes, it's far away, but we're just going to stay present. And I think we've done a really good job of that. I don't think we've let it get too kind of like overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I like that, like just kind of staying in the present, you know, moment in time of, you know, all this happening. And speaking of that, I mean, you've also launched your own podcast. Again, is it called Small Talks and Tall Tales, right?
Yeah.
How did that?
He crushed the name of that.
I was so excited. That was so cute. Yeah.
Look, there are a lot of good podcast names out there. That might be right at the top of the list. That's really good.
Yeah, no, good job. Pat her on your shoulder. She crushed that. But no, we love the podcast. We write our own, after tournaments, we write a blog. And we also, for some tournaments, we do vlogs that we put on our YouTube channel. It was just like,
it's actually kind of a selfish like reason it all started. It was for us to like keep memories.
I think it was like the blogs and our blogs
and our parents
started for us. And then someone was like, why don't you do a podcast though? Like for the people kind of thing. So the podcast is like literally now for all of our, the main reason is for all of our like family, friends, fans out there. But yeah, it's just going to be fun to go talk about just like stories that happen just like on the road. For the most part, probably some funny stories. I mean, the craziest stuff happens to us, I feel like.
Oh my gosh.
But no, we're just excited to go just kind of talk about it. I mean, if people want to listen, we'll talk.
Yeah.
I know we have our, you know, categories of what we think is, you know, are the more challenging aspects of, you know, putting out a podcast every other week. But, you know, what's been the hardest thing for the two of you?
Ooh. I would say finding sponsorships, that would be a challenge, like a huge challenge for us. And I think that's a huge challenge for everybody that's starting in the beach volleyball world. I did not want to have my life on display, like at all. I did not want to be filmed. It took a lot of convincing by Kristen for me to like be okay with doing the vlog thing and being on YouTube. I don't know why. I think it's creepy that like people like could know so much about you and you don't know them, type of thing. Cause I do love relationships and like just like meeting people and talking to them. Like I could talk to strangers at the airport all day. But it really is, that was like a hard thing for me to let go of.
Yeah. I definitely pushed her. I was like, no, we're gonna do it.
Yeah. Random. And she goes, yeah, yeah, we're gonna do it, but it's your choice. I'm like, yeah. What?
But if you don't want to, you don't have to. But like, we should do it.
Side eye. You'll have to start taking like callers or something so you can bridge the gap with your listeners.
Oh, you said you like callers?
Yeah, take callers or something.
Yeah.
You should have like a tiny mic, right? Or two tiny mics. And when you're at the airport, since you talk to so many people, you just interview random people at the airport, just pick their brains.
That's a good idea.
You would love
I
that.
I could ask all my would you rathers to them.
Oh.
It could be a whole segment. It would be a great segment.
Gosh, I'm so excited.
Wow.
Would you rather?
I love it.
I'm curious too, just Taryn, you talked about with, you know, kind of not liking your life kind of in the spotlight like that. Did that take a while to get used to? Obviously now with kind of the actual playing too and all the cameras and kind of all that being so public, kind of in your current competition format as well.
I didn't think about that. I don't think about being like, that's crazy. Cause we went to that baseball game and we had to stand out on the field and I was freaking out. I was shaking, like holding the microphone. And then playing in Chicago in front of all those people, I just walked out there. I was like, this is cool. So it's weird that that doesn't freak me out like that. I don't know. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Because I felt like that clicked and there's something you just thought of, like, wow, that's kind of, so you can take a deeper dive into that soon.
Would you rather is coming. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I think this conversation's been great overall. I mean, we definitely see the chemistry there. I definitely love the conversation myself. As we kind of getting towards the tail end of it, you know, what should USA or USA volleyball fans know about, you know, each of you that, you know, we haven't talked about or that you don't really normally, you know, publicize, just anything.
And well, I'm a big foodie.
That is known.
No, I think it just, I mean,
I didn't know that.
If you have any food recommendations for anywhere, please hit me up. We love going exploring the best food places. But I think it's just, I don't know, just the pride we have. I think I hope people know just how much pride that we have putting those three letters like on our chest, on our back, whenever we step on the court. It is just something that we do not take very lightly. And I think just super proud just being able to, I mean, in my opinion, represent the greatest country out there. So
sure.
That is something I hope people know. And we don't, again, we don't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how special it is when so I went home and I was just sitting at a restaurant with my family and somebody came up and she was like, you don't know me, but I watch you at 3 a.m. And I was like, usually that would be creepy. But for us, that is very special and very meaningful. Like, who is going to get up in the middle of the night to watch your game at 3 a.m. and just be cheering for you and then ruin their sleep schedule and then have to go to work? Like, all of that is just, it still like blows my mind. And yeah, I definitely start like crying a little bit and I get very emotional about it because it is so cool to me. And that is, I don't know, it just feels like, yeah, this journey is for us, but I feel like there's so many other people on it and we don't even know all the people that are on it with us. And that's the cool part. You talked to your friend from high school that you hadn't seen in years. And she like, I had a friend from high school that showed up. I had a friend from USA Volleyball. We went to China like 5 years ago and she showed up at Chicago. Like the amount of just like cool stories and cool people that we get to meet. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That's, I don't know if everybody knows it about me, but like that's what's important to me.
Those things. Well, Taryn and Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the USA Volleyball Show. And we hope it certainly won't be the last time. And we absolutely wish you the best of luck for the rest of this season. And looking forward to seeing everything that you do for sure.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So great to chat with Taryn and Kristen. Clarence, just hearing kind of their process for, you know, different stages of their career to this point, which is a young career and still so successful already, is fascinating. I especially, I don't know about you, but I loved hearing about the mental side of things, because I feel like a lot of times we don't get to hear that from athletes a lot. And you're always kind of wondering, what are they thinking about at this kind of situation and circumstance? And I think hearing that was awesome.
Also as well too. I agree with that. And I also, I love their personalities are so, they're different and they mesh so well. It doesn't, that something like that doesn't click and doesn't start molding in a day, in a night. You know, you really see that they, you know, both are putting, are have put in, are still continuing to put in that work to just really have the best relationship and, you know, basically sisterhood as possible as they're going about their career here. And I honestly think it was really cool about how they differentiate their approach and their just mentality going into each style of tournament, from FIVB to, you know, the ADP tour, depending on, you know, what's on the line, what city they're in, if they're traveling abroad or staying local, and, you know, they adjust to that accordingly. And I think that's a really, you know, I don't want to say hot take, but a great take on just the professional beach volleyball style, you know?
Yeah, and I'll give you my, I don't know if it's a hot take either, but I wonder how much that's been fostered by the NCAA system, with them kind of getting so involved there and being able to grow that relationship and that sisterhood, as they talked about it there, and then transitioning that to their professional careers. And I almost wonder, you know, how much of a head start and a jump start. They're certainly not the first to do that, but, you know, I've got to think it's so tough to partner up with people further along, and as opposed to this situation where they've known each other already for a long time and have been able to kind of get off on that hot start at this point in their careers. So that's where my mind goes to with that part of it a little bit.
I know. I agree there too. That just, again, there's just so many layers to it, you know, just so many layers to just, again, like you mentioned, the collegiate level, the ADP level, the FIVB level, you know, the partnership level, just all the above. And, you know, I think it was Taryn that mentioned of their freedom of just the ability to make their own schedule and just have it be what they want. I think, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. You really have to go out there and be proactive about, you know, your practice times and when you're doing this and when you're doing that and when it's time to switch this and all this, just all these gears turning at once. And, you know, again, layers, all these layers to it, and just, you know, they're making it work to the best of their ability.
They certainly are. But Clarence, I got to tell you, I now really want to know what Taryn's questions of the day are. I need more of them.
If you guys don't have a tiny mic and are not asking random people at the airport this random question of the days, I will be very sad. I will go in the corner and I will cry until you do it.
It would pass the time better than trying to, like, you know, scroll TikTok or go over and read a book. I'd rather be doing that at the airport for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, I just imagine me in that situation, is walking through the airport. I think me personally walking through the airports, I'm at the most like antisocial part of my personality, where it's just like, where's my gate? Okay, I have headphones in. How much time do I have left? I have to check my bag, and I'm just there. And if somebody walks with me with a tiny mic, I'd be so shocked. I'd be like, okay, now we can do it. It's just catching me off guard too. So I'm really excited. Like, if that's a thing, I hope it is. But I'm excited to see like just those light bulb moments come off and a lot of people in the airport. But that'd be really funny to see.
If I had to guess, I'd say you're the kind of guy that needs to go and check to make sure his gate is there, even if you've arrived to the airport like 3 hours early.
1,000%.
Gotta check it, then go get food.
Oh yeah. Check it, go get food, go take a nap or whatever. But it's just, you know, happy meeting between you trying to figure out how, like, just an hour before, you know, takeoff or whatever it is, depending what airport you're at. But it's, again, traveling's a mess, but that's not the point. That's not the point of this podcast right here. I just lost my train of thought.
All good. I'll pick it up for you, definitely, because we want to thank Taryn and Kristen again for coming on the show. Really appreciate them taking some time to chat, and we certainly wish them good luck heading out to World Championships. Cannot wait to watch. Should be another great showing from them. But now, let's take a look ahead at some of our upcoming events. We've got some NTDP stuff going on. 2023 NTDP Beach Fall Training Series, September 29th through October 1st in Virginia Beach. Virginia, yeah, of course, Virginia Beach, Virginia. That one's coming up pretty soon. And then also September 29th through October 1st, NTDP Indoor Girls Fall Training Series in Colorado Springs. So two congruent events there. And then the 2023 USA Volleyball Coach Observation Session in Colorado Springs, NTDP. CDP September 29th through October 1st. Also, Colorado Springs at the USOPTC. So those are a couple events coming up on the NTDB calendar for you. Oh, and then I think I also need to tell you about the 2023 USA Volleyball Beach Tour events. North Texas region and the Mad Sand Volleyball Regional Qualifier is September 17th in Plano, Texas. Chesapeake, the Wave Fall National Qualifier, September 17th also in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. North Texas region in the College Showcase, the Regional Qualifier, that will be September 23rd, also in Plano, Texas. So as you can already tell, September pretty loaded here. SSOVA, September Anna Maria Regional Qualifier, September 24th in Bradenton Beach, Florida. North Texas region again, Mad Sand Volleyball Boys Regional Qualifier, September 30th at the end of the month, also in Plano, Texas. And finally, GCVA East Beach Tournament Series, October, BRQ, October 1st in Galveston, Texas. So lots there. If you need to scroll back and kind of listen to them again, I won't blame you. Go for it. But good luck to everybody competing. And shout out to all the USAV regions setting up and hosting these events. Takes a lot to go into that. And we certainly appreciate them. More details and all upcoming events can be found, of course, as you know, at usavolleyball.org.
Just a quick update on the indoor junior volleyball registration side of things as we get ready to kick things off for this indoor season here. Registration is also open for the 2023 Boys Mountain Classic Qualifier. I think we just hit over 61 teams, and registration has just been open for a little less than a month now, too. So we're seeing a lot of growth for that specific event. Second year that Mountain Classic is in existence right now, too. So if you're a boys club looking for a really, really great competition to compete in and a great atmosphere, go ahead and sign up and take your team over to Denver, Colorado for the tournament. Also, registration is now open for the 2024 Salt Lake City 18s Girls Qualifier being held at the Salt Palace Convention Center from February 9th through the 11th. So if you are an 18s team looking to compete in some really high-level volleyball, go ahead and sign your team up. We have just hit the 52-team mark on that registration, and it's only been open for a few days. So that's some good news there. So expecting some really high and fun competition right there. Be sure to sign your teams up for both qualifiers if you are interested. Now, on to the pro side of things. The FIBB Women's Road to Paris Olympic Qualifier in Łódź, Poland is being held from September 16th through the 24th. We have the 2023 Norseca Men's Pan American Cup Final Six being held from September 19th through the 24th in Edmonton, Canada. The Beach Pro Tour Futures Halifax in September, from September 21st through the 24th in Canada. We also have the Beach Pro Tour Elite 16 Paris from September 27th through October 1st in Paris, France. Paris, France. What was that? All right. Next, we have the 2023 Norseca Beach Puerto Plata, September 28th through October 2nd in Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic. Also up next, we have the FIVB Men's Road to Paris Olympic Volleyball Qualifier from September 29th through October 8th in Yoyogi National Stadium, Tokyo, Japan. Lastly, we have the 2023 Norseca Beach Wandoyo Beach, October 5th through the 9th in Wandoyo Beach, Dominican Republic. Again, apologies for any city or arena or stadium mispronunciations I just had there. Tried my best there. But yeah, a lot of international volleyball going on the pro side of things there too. So very excited. Great time for volleyball all around. Be sure to tune into our website and social media platforms for more information on all of these events and much, much more. Remember, listeners can rate, review, and share this podcast with your friends, families, teammates, coaches, all the above. It really helps this podcast grow and reach new listeners. And be sure to check out our video episodes on our website and on YouTube. We thank you all for your continued support, because we have hit over 50,000 downloads on our podcast, which is a huge milestone for this team. So thank you all for being friends of the pod. Thank you all for tuning in every other Wednesday in our surprise episodes there too. We cannot do this without your continued support. Thank you. If you guys know of a club that should be featured or a story you'd like us to share, remember, you can email us at theusavshow@usav.org. Leave us feedback. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know about any future topics you want to hear about. And again, remember, new episodes are dropping every other week. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. Produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.